From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another hot one. No big surprise, but I mean, last few days have been the hottest days of the year. As we get started with the fall term. I know Jason loves that. Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here. Made it clear today in practice. Don't call this fall practice because there's nothing fall-ish about it.
This is preseason for
me. This is like, I don't know, it's blazing is what it is.
It's definitely not fall.
No, I mean, and fortunately today, I mean, for a couple of reasons. Well, I mean, two or three reasons. Yesterday was a day off because it was the first day of class. Tomorrow is Auburn's second scrimmage. And the weather is ridiculously hot. So Auburn practiced inside today in the indoor facility with air conditioning. So that made it much better for the players. And, man, it made it a whole lot better for us.
It did. And, yeah, with the scrimmage coming up tomorrow, you know, for them, I think it's like, hey, make sure everybody's there. We saw some folks that were not, you know, were not practicing, that were like Stanton Ramil. Same thing last week.
Right.
He wasn't out there the day before the scrimmage and then went full bore with all the one reps in the scrimmage. I think that's still the plan for tomorrow for him.
Yeah, it was great to hear that he went through the whole scrimmage.
Yeah. So I think, look, there, Alex Gullish talked about it over the summer. Said, listen, we're going to be very mindful of the workload that we put on him to make sure that he's there for the entirety of the season. So right now, there's no need to push Stanton Ramil 7-8 days in a row
right
now, 2 weeks before the first game. He's experienced. He knows the offense. He's in good shape. It's just a matter of making sure that he's still progressing, moving towards week one, in which they feel like he is.
Yeah, you want to try to get, if possible, everybody to game one, to that Baylor game.
That's it.
And we saw, you know, a handful of players that were not in full gear today, but nobody looked, at least that we saw, nobody looked like they have any type of injury that should keep them out for any length of time.
No, I don't think so. I think you look and, you know, there's some
I mean, Devin Williams, obviously, we know. I mean, he's coming back, although he was out running around today.
No. Yeah, I think, you know, hey, he's progressing. You know, unfortunately for him, the second time he's had to do
right
it. So you get used to what you have to do to get over it, and it probably helps you, you know, rehab a lot better than you would have normally. But now you look and look, there's some guys that are a little banged up. Listen, Jonathan Echols is the one to me that, because of his previous injury, it was a shoulder, but the shoulder has now impacted his ability to be in shape to get ready for this season.
Right.
And it's like lower back stuff now.
Yeah, it's a lower body.
Lower back, yep.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, you're not working out. You can't run a bunch because
right
your shoulder – you can lift some weights with your legs, maybe do some stuff like that.
You can't do a whole lot of lifting with a shoulder.
No. You can't do, I mean, you know,
no.
I'm just saying you might be able to sit down and do a leg press or
right
something. But you're not getting in shape and you're not running, doing all that stuff. And so now when you start to do that, your body is like, well, we're not prepared for this. And so for them, I think that's a guy to watch. So because of that, I think you look and go, look, feels like right now that he would be the fourth guy. Xavier Newsom has been a guy mm-hmm that's played really well. Arliss Boardingham has
taken advantage of this opportunity and really needed to.
Yep, has experience, has done it before in this league, and then obviously Jake Johnson out there. So, yeah, good to talk to some folks. You know, Larry Scott, who's great, love talking to him.
He really is.
And then, you know, Coleman Hutzler is just what you would expect from a defensive coach. He's you know, old school, like the sweat-stained hat.
He's got some fire,
gruff,
too, you know.
Gruff kind of guy. And
A voice that carries
And so, I think that's an interesting position when you start talking about this team. You know, I wrote this week, said, you know, I think this sophomore defensive line group,
mm-hmm,
outside of Byron Brown, I think the sophomore defensive line group may be as important as anybody on this team. Cody Sigler's probably my number two guy. mean, people are like, oh, who's like the number two most important player? It may be Cody Sigler for me because, like, they need him.
Oh, absolutely.
To be an older playmaker and defensive tackle.
Right.
But then, look, they need Malik Autry and Jordan Crawford, Darion Smith, Jared Smith.
You can throw Walter Buddy Mathis in there, Buddy too, because he's a sophomore.
That you need those guys to become the next guys for you. And so, you know, Jared Smith, from everything we continue to hear, has done exactly what they wanted him to do to this point. Still just 19 years old. He's still really young. Because he did not graduate high school early, but he was young for his age,
right,
for his class. So, look, he's almost 270 pounds now and still looks thin, which is crazy to think about. But I'm like, when I look at him, the old school in me makes me think of Bryan Smith.
Yeah, you know, that's a good comparison when you look at him.
When you look at him, you go, golly, that guy has
the frame,
massive
size,
athleticism,
reach.
Athleticism,
yes.
And a bigger body. Because Andre wasn't as big. Craig Oldtree obviously wasn't as big as either one of those guys, and he wasn't small. But I think about Bryan Smith going,
yeah, when Bryan was 6'6", 6'7".
Yes, and 255 pounds in 1988, So he looked freakishly different. So I think you look and go, man, can he, you know, I think physically Jared's got all the tools, but mentally, are you prepared to go, I'm going to impose my will on somebody? That's the next step.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hardest part of it too, is to go, I'm going to go from just playing football to going, listen, I'm fixing to dominate you. Sometimes as a young guy, that's hard to get to that level. And, if he can though, look, Sean Womack's still trying to get there. He's a guy that's played football, and he's really talented, but he never has been that guy.
Right.
And can he get to be that guy now? We'll see.
You know, Deshaun's an interesting guy in that he's back with some guys that he grew up with.
Correct.
Here, that connection, that Baltimore connection,
yep,
that's down here at Auburn. And
it's not just players.
No. And a lot of those guys – have stepped up and really at young ages shown their players, and I think that's good for Deshaun to be around those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think about it, there's a bunch of those guys.
There really are.
You know, you've added a few of them too from the transfer side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at him and go, look, Wayne Dorsey's a guy that was, Auburn assistant defensive end coach last year, stayed in that same role, and look, that connection. He was on the St. Francis staff at one point. He's been a college coach now for a while, but. Listen, it goes all the way back with Deshaun Womack, and you go, look, it's a big reason why Auburn landed him, and I think that comfort level with each other is a big deal. And, you know, that's the kind of guy that you're waiting to go, can he find it? Because it's there.
It's there.
It's there. And you go like
– I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, Jared's got it, and, you know, Deshaun has it, and it's like
– Who's going to deliver?
Right.
Because if one of those guys – delivers, it's great. If both of those guys deliver,
then
it changes everything.
It's a game changer.
It changes everything about your defense, because all of a sudden your corners are going, listen, I don't have to worry about going out there and covering it a long time and being on an island and doing all those things. It helps those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It helps your interior guys, because all of a sudden they're going, well, we're going to have to put an extra guy out here to block him. All of a sudden you look and go Dallas Walker and, you know, Cody Sigler, you get one-on-one with a guard or maybe a center helping. Like it changes an entire defense if those guys can come out and do that, and be those guys, especially with Auburn's linebacker group.
And interesting, you know, we've talked about Jason. We've talked about the versatility and the flexibility of so many, you know, like in the secondary, guys being able to play multiple spots. You hear a similar thing from Coleman Hutzler when he's talking about his outside guys. You know, because you wonder, all right, who's the buck? Who's the strong side end? Well, when you talk Jared and Deshaun, it could be either one. I mean, so either one of those guys. So it's interesting. I mean, they could have a situation where it doesn't really matter. You don't have to be flip-flopping your guys.
No.
You know, instead of, it's just, or you may be the guy, you may be on this side, he's on the other side, and depending on, you know, where the ball is, one of you is dropping, the other one's rushing.
Yeah, and I think you look and go, probably – if it's Nate Johnson, you're probably not going to drop a bunch.
Right.
Maybe not even Deshaun Womack a bunch. I think Jared, you could.
I think Joe, you could.
I think there's some guys there that fit that. Obviously, mm-hmm. Chris Murray's a guy that can play both sides. And, you know, a lot of that will depend, too, like, okay, what's your plan for the week?
Yeah.
Against a team that does this, are you going to be more three-man front?
Right. What are you going to need against this team?
Or are you going to play more of a true four-man front? Some of those things that change it, because if it's a four-man front, both those guys will essentially be playing the same position.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be then the strong side, weak side, what you're facing, all that stuff. But, no, there's some versatility there, and I think that's what they're trying to build. You know, Coleman Husser talked about it today. Build depth and build versatility.
Right.
Which in turn builds more depth when you go, look, that guy can play either side. He can play both roles. Then, but if you have four or five of those guys, then you have eight guys instead of four. And that's a big deal, because you're like, look, it don't matter who it is. We got four on this side and four on this side instead of having four total.
Scrimmage coming up tomorrow, a big one. I mean, I would assume this will be the final full scrimmage. I'm sure they'll do some situational scrimmage work, you know, from this point on. But, I mean, next week is pretty much
next week will be mock game week. Is what they're going to call it, I think. Yes, I would suspect.
So tomorrow is going to go, I mean, just about all the way in determining who they're going to be counting on, who they're planning on counting on in the Baylor
game. That's it. There may be some tweaks about playing rotation, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, look, if you haven't impressed enough that they go, hey, we can count on this guy, then you're probably going to be headed for a scout team role after tomorrow's scrimmage. I think that's normally the the dividing line. Excuse me. And I think that's what you look at from this scrimmage. And, yeah, it'll be a big one. Probably from this point forward, you look and you go, okay, what do we need to work on coming out of the first true scrimmages? Last week, Alex Golish said tackling and continued focus on the red zone. We'll see after scrimmage number two. Do you feel better about the tackling? I think they'll continue to work on red zone, but it may be, hey, it might be third down offense, defense that you go, listen, we need to tighten that up a little bit. We have seen them do a whole lot of work in the red zone. We saw them, you know, some you know, passing and throwing the ball down in that short red zone today, doing some different stuff. And so, I've talked. There's two things I've talked about really since the end of last year. It goes, look, continue to focus on the offensive line. Got to run the football, and then you got to be better in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn was dreadful in the red zone last year, scoring touchdowns.
Byram, I thought, looked really good throwing the ball today.
Yeah, and it's not going to look good in terms of just aesthetically.
Well, I'm just talking about the ball got where it needed to be. That's the thing.
So
receiver.
So aesthetically, you look and go, man, like Bernie Kosar or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The ball gets there.
Right.
And the athleticism for him. But, man, you can continue to talk to people. And to a player, to a person, when you ask about Byram Brown, everyone of them is going, that's our guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been a long time since an Auburn football team had that. I mean, a long time where you go, no questioning who that guy is at quarterback.
I guess you'd go back to Jarrett.
2018. Because even Bo had to fight off.
Right.
You know, Bo had to come in
and prove it as a true freshman. And then he had to try to prove it to Brian Larson.
Yes, I think 2018 Jarrett Stidham was probably the last time you went, you're like, oh, you know exactly what this is. Even that felt a little different. They played great in 2017. But Jarrett, I mean, wasn't a vocal guy as much. Nick Marshall wasn't a vocal guy as much. I mean, I don't know how far you have to go back prior to that, because Cam was 1 year. You didn't have the second year for him. You didn't have the follow-ups there. You start talking about Brandon Cox to go, you know exactly who that guy is. You know exactly, like, there haven't been many of those guys. Of course, I mean, there's a lot of teams in that role. But his experience and their belief in him is something that we just haven't seen as much of. We'll see. I mean, look, it might not factor in at all. Who knows? I think it will. How much will that
you
know,
would
change?
Hope so.
How much will it change wins and losses? We'll see. I don't know. I do know that there's a guy now that this team believes in, and that hasn't happened in a while.
No question about that. All right. Jason Caldwell here in the studio along with Bill Drew at the controls. We're going to get to our first break and check in with the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham. So stick with us. We're just underway here on the Tuesday Drive.
War Eagle. This is Coach Larry Vickers.
Seven. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell here in the studio. Drew at the controls. And right now we're going to head to the Drive hotline and welcome in our good friend, voice of the Auburn Tigers. That is Andy Burcham. Andy, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm not in the heat, and that's the main thing.
Golly, you are not kidding. It is brutal. I mean, the last few days, the hottest days of the year, and it's not cooling off here for a few days.
My heart goes out to everybody that works outdoors.
You're
my
not
goodness
kidding.
Gracious. My goodness.
Oh, wow.
Hats off to you, let me tell you.
And hopefully their hats are on.
Yeah, the hats on and water in. That's
right.
That is
exactly right.
No,
that is exactly.
And you know, when you think about it, it's like, listen, high school football in this state kicks off in 2 days.
That is crazy.
And there'll be people playing games Thursday night, Friday night.
I was watching last night, and I mean, we're pointing it out on the weather that you know, the temperature at kickoff Friday night all around is going to be in the 90s. I mean, and that's not the feels like. That's the temperature.
Yes,
is going to be, you know, around 90 or a little over 90. So I mean, thank goodness they do the water breaks, and I mean, we're fortunate to have, you know, quite a few schools here in this area that have good enough, you know, resources to be able to really take care of these young men, you know. But yes, it is just it's a scary thought.
So Thursday, the high in Phoenix City is 98 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual temperature, 98, and normally that's 3 or 4 o'clock is the hottest time
right.
of our day.
Yep, around 4.
And they play at 7 o'clock on turf. Thompson comes to Central Phoenix City. It's going to be smoking hot.
Is that where you're going to be, JC?
I'll be there Thursday night, yes. I'll be there Thursday night. And I'm trying to remember, like, we were talking about this. We had this discussion a few days ago. Bill was part of it. Hottest football games.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy, you are too. We're talking about Ole Miss in Jackson, Mississippi in 1990, and I think about a high school game where niece Tim Tebow, they came to Hoover and played a Saturday afternoon game senior year on the turf at Hoover High School.
Right.
And it was the same kind of thing. But I think about, like, people remember cold games. You always go, oh, I remember that cold game. But those hot ones too, that Jackson, Mississippi, Auburn, Ole Miss game, you're not going to be able to top it because of everything else that happened around it, too.
And you know, well, go ahead, Andy.
It was the first road game of the season for Auburn. Obviously, it was a neutral site game, gas neutral, in Jackson, Mississippi. It was my first road game as a member of the Auburn Network. I mean, that was our first year.
Suit and tie, coat, Charlie,
yeah. Myself. Yeah, we were in coat and tie.
Yeah, so was I, Andy, and I was standing at the ticket gate.
Yeah, and I can remember recording my open to the Pat Dye pregame show underneath a goalpost, and I'm like, you're an idiot for doing it here because it's about 8 million degrees. And people were falling out in the stands. They ran out of water.
Water, that's right. Not just ice. They ran out of water, you know, before the first quarter.
The thing that I remember more than anything else is the post-game show that I did with Coach Dye and probably a couple players because Auburn won the game. And it's a small locker room, small locker room there in Jackson, Mississippi. And Taquio Spikes, the great Taquio Spikes, had full body cramps from, I guess, just he was dehydrated.
Dehydration, right.
And he was set up on a training table on a gurney right next to where Coach Dye and I were doing the postgame show. And you could hear Taquio. It was tough for him. And Coach Dye got really mad at me after we were off the air because that's where we did the postgame. I said, well, Coach, I had no choice. That's where the equipment was. But Stan White tells a story. That was Stan's first start on the road for Auburn as a redshirt freshman. And Auburn, I think Auburn bussed to the game. I know that Stan was in a bus coming home, and he wasn't feeling well. Stan would tell this much better than I. And they had Stan walk. They had Stan go to the front and sit next to Sue Dye. And he threw up on Sue Dye. Well, I'm sure she didn't care for the Auburn quarterback.
That's not a happy. I guarantee you, that wasn't a happy situation.
No. No, especially and miserable as it was too. Yes, we were talking about it was. I thought it was Cal State Fullerton was the first game, and I think that was their last season as a football team, or because I think they quit playing after that year. But and then the next week was the crazy tie game against, or 2 weeks had an off week, a crazy tie game against Tennessee at home on ESPN on a Saturday night. Yep,
right. And that game in Jackson obviously was. It may have been 11. May have been a JP game. I don't know.
It was during the middle of the day. I know that.
I remember because we were talking about that. Because Jackson State played that night as a doubleheader. It rained.
Oh, I didn't realize.
And it rained that morning.
Oh yeah.
So it was steam.
Awful.
Steam coming up.
It was just terrible.
Yeah. So that one was. I remember Coach Dye. He would come sit in our office at inside the Auburn Tigers, and he always said, "Listen, that's the hottest day of football I ever had." And I went. That's a guy who ate salt tablets and worked in a farm and
worked in the fields his whole
life. If he says it's the hottest day he had, I'm going with him. And so it was hot.
Yep. I'm with you there. I'm with you there, Jason.
Yeah, so fortunately, today practice was inside. Tomorrow, they're going to scrimmage tomorrow morning, but at least, it'll be a little earlier. It'll be before the worst heat of the day. But this interesting, Andy, that Auburn has such a quick turnaround between scrimmages, with one this past Friday and then the last big scrimmage, I would assume, coming up tomorrow.
Well, this is the last week of camp. In spite of the fact that they're no longer at a Grand National in the hotel and they're in class through the day, or they're taking class through the day, this is still the last week of fall camp for Auburn. I believe as of Sunday, they'll be in a mock game week situation. And then obviously the following Sunday is the actual game week as Auburn prepares for Baylor. And I don't know if that has anything to do, Bill, with the fact that it's going to be a Wednesday morning scrimmage. If that's the case, it'll be less than a week in between the two scrimmages at Jordan-Hare Stadium. It'll be interesting to hear what the aftermath with Coach Golish and some players after that, and then they'll continue to wrap up fall camp and get ready for 2 weeks of game prep as they get ready for the opener against Baylor on September 5th in Atlanta.
I would think that there has been and will be a focus on some things that Alex Golish talked about after the scrimmage on Friday. He obviously wasn't happy with some pre-snap penalties, felt it was sloppy at times, and wasn't crazy about the tackling. So I'm sure those have been points of emphasis, since the scrimmage Friday, and will be something that will be watched very closely tomorrow.
Well, and that's not the only thing I'm guessing for tomorrow, but those will be perhaps at the forefront coming out of the scrimmage last Friday. And in talking with him at the Tigers Unlimited donors lunch on Saturday, he did like, I think, the pace that Auburn showed on offense.
Right. Yeah. He didn't seem there are a lot of people that took some of the comments, reading some of the comments that he was extremely disappointed. I did not get that feeling. It was just like, look, there's some things that need to be cleaned up.
Well, and wouldn't you expect that from your first scrimmage in pads?
I sure would.
Well, and it's what's
full hitting.
Yeah, what's interesting is that's the job of the head coach. The job of the head coach is to keep everybody moving forward.
Right.
Position coaches, maybe even coordinator coming through after the scrimmage, I was like, got a few head nods. And I'm like, listen, I think they probably felt better about it than they thought they would coming out of it, even on both sides of the ball. And that's what you
which
want.
Which is good.
That's what you want.
Absolutely.
You want guys.
You didn't want just the defensive guys
Correct. You want both of them going, okay, I saw some things that were positive there. It's not going to be perfect, and it's never going to be perfect. But the job of the head coach is to guys make sure, look at guys and go, listen, we want perfection. That's his job.
Yeah, if I ever hear a coach after the first practice or the first scrimmage going, yeah, we're there.
We have arrived.
No.
Then you know
it's
over.
You not.
You know it's over with.
You're in trouble at that point.
That's right.
Well, if that's the case.
And that's it. And, like, you know, we heard, listen, the defense got after it. They made some plays.
Goal line stand.
But then you go, oh, look, you're going to have a couple turnovers. You're going to have those things. We also remember it was like, what, day three of full pads?
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, let's go throw them in here and have a scrimmage. I think that's exactly why we saw the first day. They're in pads. We look up, they blow the whistle right away and say, look, all right, come compete. I think this was, okay, well, you've done all this. Let's go see what you're made out of.
You think you're ready? Let's see.
And so I thought, listen, just from talking to people, you know, kind of ear to the ground thing, normal first scrimmage is what it sounded like, which is what you would expect. But I do think people were left going, okay, maybe there was a little bit of growth in camp so far, and I think that's a good sign.
I agree. And listen, we all that are either covering Auburn, calling Auburn, coming to the Auburn games, part of the Auburn, we all want to see that pace of offense pick up from what it has been for several years now. I mean, we thought we'd see better pace after Gus Malzahn left. We thought we'd see better pace in the time that Hugh Freeze was here, and we really haven't seen it. And I think it's very important. I think it's what Alex Golish and Joel Gordon, the offensive coordinator, have run in their 3 years together at USF. It's what they're going to run at Auburn. Now, how successful will they be against this schedule, starting with Baylor? We'll find out together, but that was the one thing in talking with the head coach that he liked. I'm not saying it was perfect, but I think he liked what he saw from a pace perspective from his offense on Saturday.
Andy, I just feel like this.
On Friday, excuse me.
Yeah, I feel like this offense is going to be better prepared than they have been the last few years because of what they have been facing. The fact we've talked about it a good bit here on the show. I mean, just how Alex Golish not only has said okay, but has encouraged DJ Durkin to throw everything at Byron Brown in the offense. I mean, because they're going to face that. They're going to face that on a weekly basis in this conference. And to be ready to compete in this conference, you can't take it easy on guys that aren't familiar with playing at this level and expect them to have success.
You know what gives me some hope about this offense as well, guys, and we've talked about it really since this roster was put together. The amount of players, especially on offense, that come from USF, the amount of important players on this offense that come from USF, that will be starters, that will be key contributors to this offense. And the fact that they have played in this offense under the head coach, Alex Golish, under the offensive coordinator in Joel Gordon, and Tyler and Huddy at the offensive.
And Cody.
All these guys.
Yeah.
These guys have been in this system. And yes, it is a very new team with 40-some players that are new to the roster at Auburn. But there's a chunk of these guys that, one, have played together in this system, and we're talking about a starting quarterback, we're talking about a starting center, probably a starting right guard, at least two of these wide receivers, perhaps another tailback. All of these guys have played, a tight end, all of these guys have played in this system, and I think that gives Auburn a leg up as opposed to a brand new staff and a brand new team, and they're all coming together and getting ready for their first game together in 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks.
And how many of these guys, just about every one of them, has assumed a leadership role in his position room? And we've heard that from their teammates. So that's really important that they are not only do they understand, but they are completely bought in and are helping the other players understand and helping them buy in.
I don't know how many times I've done interviews with Alex Golish, whether it's an ambush event or a launch event or this past Saturday with Tigers Unlimited in the old indoor facility. every one of those interviews, and sometimes it's been on my direction, the head coach has talked about culture and player-led culture. And it's still not where he wants it to be. I asked him that question on Saturday. It is still not where he wants it to be, but it is better now than it was in the spring. And every time he talks about it, he talks about it's got to be the players leading this team on the field and off the field. And I think he's getting more of that. But guys, I mean, in January, most of these guys had never played together. But it is an interesting mix, Bill. You mentioned this. It is an interesting mix of the leaders that we observe that are part of the leadership council on this team. And it's an interesting mixture of guys that have been here at Auburn and some of these guys that are new to Auburn. Mm-hmm. And that's a fascinating landscape, so to speak, with regard to this ball club.
It is, and you start talking about what's most important. Like, what's the most important thing? And 5 years ago, I would have said it's talent.
Right.
Talent's the most important thing you can have. Did not feel any differently about that until about week four last year. And I went, listen, because Indiana showed us the way.
It's not just talent, right?
You got to be good enough. Mm-hmm. But Indiana wasn't the most talented team in the country. They were among the most talented.
No, but they were the best team in the country.
That's it. But you're talking about what does it take? And we've had this shift of going, okay, the NFL's they're taking from college. The NFL's taking from college and taking from high school and how they're playing the game and how they're doing those things. There's still something that really, really matters. Now, we were just talking about it. You got to have a quarterback that everybody in that room looks to and goes, I believe that guy's going to take us down the field and win. There's something about having that guy. You don't have to be the greatest quarterback in the world, but you got to be a guy that everybody believes in is the toughest guy, is a guy that's going to get it done when it's crunch time. Like, that's the most important thing. I watched last weekend as the Hall of Fame induction, watching Drew Brees, and I went, that guy was from Austin, Texas. Won a state championship at Austin Westlake High School in Texas and winds up at Purdue.
Purdue, right.
All he does at Purdue, go win a Rose Bowl at Purdue. That guy's a 32nd pick because he's 6 foot tall. What's he do? Win a Super Bowl. He's in the Hall of Fame because that guy believed he was the best guy on the field. He was talented.
Well, I mean,
look
at what happened to him after he left the Chargers.
Yeah.
He wanted to go to the Dolphins.
Yep.
And had Nick Saban had anything to do with it, he would have been with the Dolphins.
It might have changed the entire
history of college football.
History of college football changes if that happens, yes.
Then he goes to the Saints, leads them to a Super Bowl championship as the NFL's all-time leading passer.
Yeah. No.
And a lot of people said, you can't do it.
Right.
Yeah. That's it. And now you think about it, but like the most important thing, I mean, Tom Brady, to go like, look, what did that guy bring to the table? Pretty good arm. Wasn't the best arm. Couldn't run a lick. That guy was smart. He was tough as nails. And he was smart, physical. And when the game was on the line, he wanted to football.
He knew
everybody
he
on that
going,
team.
Yeah.
Everybody
he was
going to
make the
it.
Play.
That's it. And so that's where we were talking about it. Can Byron Brown give you that confidence? I think his teammates have that kind of confidence in him. Now, you got to go out and do it. But it's been a long time since I felt like Auburn had a quarterback where everybody on the field went, that guy's going to go do this right here.
Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, with us here on the Tuesday Drive. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Can you stick with us, Andy?
You bet.
All right, we got one more segment with Andy when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in to the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Jason Caldwell here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we're spending a few more minutes with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, here on this Tuesday edition. Andy, before we move on, one other thing, as we were talking, just thinking about the practice schedule and everything, when I mentioned to somebody about the mock game week next week, they said, gee, that's something I'm not familiar with, but why doesn't everybody do that? That is another, to me, it's another indication of how, you know, every detail, it seems like everything that Alex Golish has said and done to this point is something that just makes so much sense. I mean, yeah. He knows exactly, you know, where he wants to get and how he wants to get there. I mean, I think this is a very smart idea when you've got as many new players, just like you were talking about, and you've got a little bit of time here. They decide who they can count on. They want to have every detail. He talks about margins. This is one of those areas where you don't want anything to slip that could affect, you know, the mindset or anything as the players get ready for that first game against Baylor.
And you know, I wonder if this is something that he's done all along. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. That, you know, taking the team off campus, mm-hmm. he did that all 3 years as a head coach yep. down at USF.
Mm-hmm.
A mock game week, I wouldn't be surprised if that isn't something he's done. And I'd be fascinated to know where he picked that up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's been at so many places as an assistant coach, as a grad assistant, as a position coach, as a recruiting coordinator, as an offensive coordinator, big schools, small schools, Power Four schools, you know. We have our first Tiger Talk with him a week from tomorrow.
Right.
At the graduate in the War Eagle Supper Club. That's one of the things I'm going to ask, just, you know, where do some of these ideas that you've now implemented as a head coach, where did they come from?
Yeah, who are those influences on him and where some of these ideas came from? I think it's great.
Yeah, and I look, there's a – I just kind of looked at it and said, hey, mock game. It's an NFL thing, and I didn't really remember it a whole lot. Hmm. You know, obviously, because, you know, you think about it, like, we don't really factor into much NFL talk or thoughts for me. But I went and looked, and the Seahawks had a mock game August 8, 2006, but they said, look, it is a mock week and a period in training camp or preseason when a team simulates the feel of a real game. So you're right. I think it's an NFL thing probably where they go maybe leading into preseason games because they have more time together.
Right. I mean, we've seen it where it would be mock game day.
Correct. But even then, we've seen it in the past, I think, right, is that they go to the stadium and they test the headsets.
Right.
They do that stuff. They might even stretch a little bit. But it's not. I would bet you, and I haven't.
They're going to do as much as they can.
I haven't
to
talked to anybody.
Simulate that game,
pregame meal, all mm-hmm. the stuff. I would bet you that it's as close to everything that they'll deal with as possible.
Well, I mean, there are certainly some new ideas that Coach Golish and his folks have brought with and are implementing now at Auburn. So, I just, if I get the opportunity, I want to ask him. You know, where are mm-hmm. some of these ideas? Where do these come from? I mean, you know, you hear that all the time, and he spent so many years as an assistant coach, and he was bound to pick up on ideas that worked well where he was that now are part of the Alex Golish program at Auburn.
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Andy, before we run out of time, football's not the only thing going off. Soccer off to a pretty good start.
1-0-1, a mm-hmm. nil-nil tie against number 25 Clemson last week, and then a 5-0 win, a 5-0 win for Auburn against Jacksonville State on Sunday. Auburn has one match this week. It's tomorrow night, Thursday night at the Auburn Soccer Complex, the Tigers and Jacksonville State. Tigers and SIU Carbondale at 6:30. And then that's the only match that Auburn has this week. Auburn volleyball the same night will play an exhibition match, I believe, against Georgia Tech for the Tigers and Coach Brent Crouch. And then next week, much more coming up from an athletics standpoint for both Auburn soccer and volleyball. And then, of course, we start Tiger Talk next Wednesday night. It'll be at the Graduate upstairs at the War Eagle Supper Club. Our guests include Alex Golish and Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson to be on the show next Wednesday over on Wings 94.3. And then game week for Auburn and Baylor will be out at the Baumhauer's Victory Grill, which will be our normal Wednesday night location. A reminder that the Tiger Talks are moving to Wednesday night during football season. So really looking forward to being at the Graduate a week from tomorrow, and then at a Baumhauer's Victory Grill a week or 2 weeks in a day from tomorrow. So really looking forward to being back at Baumhauer's for our weekly Tiger Talk. This week on the Talking Tigers podcast, if you have a freshman at Auburn, you might want to take a listen to Dr. Bobby Woodard, Auburn Senior Vice President for Student Affairs. He's on the podcast this week. Going to sit down and talk with one of Auburn's legends, and he is truly an Auburn legend now, in Benji Rowland, who will be honored at the SEC championship game as Auburn's legend. Benji and I are going to sit down tomorrow for the Talking Tigers podcast. Also this week, a recording podcast for Auburn's first game with Auburn Athletic Director John Cohen, and then a football or a kickoff on the plains with Red Hobart, Paris Buchanan, and Daniel Watkins. We always do that first home game to talk about the improvements, the changes at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and they are abundant.
Oh yes,
this year with the start of the of Jordan-Hare North and additional concourse space on the south side of Jordan-Hare Stadium. But really looking forward to all of that, guys, as we get the athletic season going in earnest, to be sure.
You're going to head out to the soccer match to see if anybody remembers the Carbondale radio legend when you go out there?
They don't remember this Carbondale legend, let's put it that way. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching this James Armstrong team as it continues to grow. But a really good start. That tie against Clemson shows Auburn's potential from a defensive standpoint, and then it was nice to see them open up the offense against Jacksonville State. Mm-hmm. And they'll get SIU Carbondale before they go on the road for the first time next week at Kennesaw State.
Yeah, Andy, you mentioned freshmen, and yesterday was the first day of classes. I don't know the numbers, but it just feels like feels like they're more than ever. I mean, this I don't know that I've ever seen traffic like this in August.
And it was traffic everywhere. It wasn't just traffic.
You're not kidding.
It was traffic where you typically don't see, or where I don't typically
the
normal.
The backways don't
or
work.
Notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it is what we come to enjoy of this college town. I do know this. And this number continues to grow, and it's astounding to me. Perhaps it shouldn't be. For the 6,000 freshmen at Auburn this year, there were 70,000 applications.
Wow.
Which is astounding to me.
It is, yes.
Well, especially
thank goodness it's only 6,000.
Especially when you consider what it takes to get into Auburn now.
That's right.
From an academic standpoint.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I look at those numbers and the requirements that it takes now from an academic standpoint, all I can say is to myself, well, you wouldn't have been going to Auburn,
nope,
Andy,
nope,
back in 1979, that's for sure. So my hat's off, and hope these youngsters, these young folks, are enjoying their first week on campus.
Yep, I have my niece here, freshman, just a couple of days into it, and I think having a good time so far.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Andy, it's always great to be able to spend a little bit of time with you. It's great when we get a chance to see you as well. But, yeah, appreciate you being on with us always.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day. War Eagle!
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, who's with us every Tuesday here in hour number one. We'll get to our first break. Not our first break, our last break of the first hour. And open up the phone lines. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive. With Bill Cameron, ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here in the studio. Drew is at the controls. Hey, Jason, a couple of bits of news. Football news, a position change, and a new addition to the roster here in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, an interesting one. We'll see about Bryce Kane. We've seen this in the past
right.
where a guy's playing
gets
a position
work.
And
right.
then you look up the next day and he's back at his spot. So at least we know that there's a thought of maybe he didn't, you know, look at him on defense. And I think, listen, it's not because the defense isn't playing, or it's not because of the cornerback position. It's more the depth at his spot at wide receiver.
That's right.
With Christian.
Well, depth. I think it's sort of like the experience depth at corner, and then the depth at receiver is
correct.
Good.
With Christian Neptune getting back out there.
Good to see him in full gear
today.
And
you look at Deshaun Spencer, and you look at Chaz Nimrod, and you look and go, like, you're
probably. And we've heard Brian Williams, another youngster.
But I mean, but I'm talking about just that spot.
At the slot.
Yeah, I think that you're talking about probably your fourth guy right mm-hmm. now. And you go, like, okay, you're maybe closer to playing if you go corner, but maybe you go, okay, go play special teams. Go do all those things. See if that's the spot for you. And maybe it works out right there. But, yeah, I think, look, just trying to get on the field. And I think it's part of it. But it'll be a look to see him there. And how does he, perform, all that stuff. We'll find out. It's going to be really tough.
Yeah. Now, if he stays at corner, he didn't have to have a number change. Now, of course, special teams, he wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could keep number six if he was primarily special teams.
Yep. But no,
since DeMarcus Riddick's got the
same
number.
Yes, he's got six. So you look at that, and then on the other side, Trey Taylor.
I don't get to use that very much.
I would guess would be maybe the smallest scholarship Auburn player I can remember, even counting kickers.
Maybe the lightest non, for sure, the lightest non-kicker.
Yeah, like Scott Etheridge probably weighed. I mean, obviously, Alex McPherson, I'm not counting him the last couple of years. Scott Etheridge probably didn't weigh much more than that. He was probably 150 pounds, maybe something like that. You think about Philip Pierre-Louis, but like he was probably 5'6", but he probably
weighed 170 at least, 175.
I mean, he's small. Now he's explosive. He can dunk a basketball, and he's probably 5'6", but he can dunk. And so like that is explosive spring.
I mean, he's a guy that put up really good numbers in junior college and was Troy's, I think, number three receiver a year ago.
Yep. And so you look at it, look like what can he do? We'll see it. Like, you gotta learn the offense, and that's gonna be really, really difficult this late in the process.
Right.
Special teams, so like he only returned one punt last year for Troy, six at Coastal Carolina, but he was like a second-team All-American return man
in junior college.
Can he factor in there? To me, that's where I would expect the most likely impact for him, maybe the first 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, you're talking about how much can you catch up when you're trying to play in those positions, but that's another slot. So you go like, look, that move may also go, okay, Bryce Kane, look, we got another guy here. Let's see if you can help out in this spot. And so, so a couple of changes there. We'll see if it has any real impact at all on this team. I don't know. But it feels like Trey Taylor's a guy that potentially in a certain spot, maybe in a return game, could do something. I really find it difficult to think he's going to jump in there and get significant
impact
snaps
guy.
At wide receiver.
Well, especially early on. I mean, he's wearing number 27. He was out there today, just getting acclimated. Didn't go through any of the drills. I mean, he's got to sort of.
That's the other part. He's got 4 or 5 days.
Yeah,
he's not going to be able to do anything. You're
going
to get
can't
through
go in pads.
A second scrimmage, all the things that are going to happen before he can get out there and see what he can do.
Yeah, so but that was interesting. He's one of those guys that just got that extra year of eligibility, and we were talking about it. I mean, I think you said it. I mean, it's going to have to be like a skill guy or a kicker.
Yeah.
I mean, you would
really,
think to be an
really
impact.
Difficult position
at this time
to jump in and go, hey, because there's a couple offensive linemen out there. Like, you go, maybe a pass rusher.
There's a whole lot more to learn there.
Yes, and so you go, like, there's a couple things. But, yeah, defensive scheme, offensive line schemes, all that stuff. You think going, like, look, here's your position. Here's 4 or 5 plays we want you to focus on. And then you might can get a guy some touches here or there. That's what it feels like.
All right, we're just about out of time here in hour number one. We got another hour to go. Love for you to join us. Any questions, comments? Auburn getting ready for its second scrimmage tomorrow. We'll talk about, maybe what they're looking for. Would love to hear from you, though, in hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here in the studio. Drew is back at the controls, and we'd love for you to join us. Give us a call on the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise, Auburn football back on the practice field, actually back at the indoor practice facility today, getting ready for a scrimmage tomorrow. So, not as heavy or quite as long a practice as we've seen.
Yeah, I kind of expected that too. Once we knew that this scrimmage is going to be on Wednesday, especially as hot as it is.
Oh yeah,
you're like, well, you don't want to wear somebody out to, but the day before you're going to scrimmage, especially probably be a fairly long one. Once again, I would assume. Really interesting to see from a timing standpoint, because there's classes going on.
Mm-hmm.
And guys know they're practicing in the mornings, but trying to get guys out, take a shower, eat lunch, do all that stuff, and still get to classes in the afternoons means you're not going to have these grinded out. I mean, it was – last Friday was probably, what, 12:30?
Yeah, it was close to 12:30.
I would guess that we're going to be – we'll be a lot earlier tomorrow.
Yeah, probably closer
probably
to
start
noon.
Earlier.
Well, so, because I'm sure, look, if you've got – I mean, first of all, it's extremely difficult to get that many – get everybody to have mornings open every single day. It could be easier to do it either Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday. But it's really difficult to do it on back-to-back days like Tuesday, Wednesday. And there were some guys that weren't – there were a couple of guys that weren't out there today, Jason. You think either one, anybody that wasn't out there today, might have been because of class situation? Or, I mean, I really don't know.
I think they dialed back a few guys who play with so much energy. I think Xavier Atkins and Bryce Diaz, some of those guys
right.
who play so hard all the time. You're like, okay, listen, there's don't go out here and go running crazy. It's really hot. We need you to be ready for the scrimmage tomorrow. So I think some of that is, okay, hey, I think that just like we're talking about with Stanton Ramil, where they're going, listen, we're going to dial things back for that guy to make sure he's good.
Well,
I
think with X, you also you know what you got. And you know that it's not going to be the end for him to miss –
yeah.
A practice.
So I think they do that with some other guys too, going, listen, this guy, because everything now they monitor everything, because we've seen it come in and go hydration tests, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Listen, you may come in and go, listen, hey, your hydration level's probably not quite good enough. We're not going to push something to risk a hamstring strain or a hamstring pull or whatever. That's where some of that stuff can come in. So they monitor everything. But, yeah, I don't think there's anything, like you said, where you go, oh, man, that sounds concerning about a guy who you think is going to be
which you're really fortunate right now.
Yeah, to be an impact player for this team. You know, you're like, hey, there's, you know, obviously.
Was it Texas just lost in a starting tackle?
Yep, so obviously we've seen Ty Buster. And you go, like, that's one mm-hmm. you saw before camp ever started. But having Jacob Strand step up has you felt like, okay, that's kind of maybe slipped into that role of what he would have been for this team. So, all in all, you go like, look, from you know, you're going to have injuries here or there. You got some guys that have missed some practice time here or there, but I don't think any of those are guys and any of those
so
guys.
Far.
Yeah, there you go. Like, hey, that guy's going to miss time, and he would have been a key player for this team.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And this is really interesting. I don't know that we've ever had back to back our first two callers. Or have the same name. So just one of you is going to be on when we get to our first Carrie. Hey, Carrie, go ahead.
Hey, man. Just a comment and a quick question for Jason.
Yeah.
I like the look of this team. I know it sounds cliche, but I heard a reporter a couple of days ago say, you know, this team may not be the most talented team as other teams SEC. And I'm not saying necessarily they are, but I tell you, there's three groups on this team that I would put up against anybody, not only SEC, but in the country. That's our linebackers, the safeties, and our running at the backfield, running backs. I would put that group up there with any groups in this in America, in my opinion. So I think this team's, you know, probably more talented than what a lot of people, you know, give them credit for, you know. That's just my opinion, and of course I know people, you know, look at the years past and all, and that's probably why, you know, obviously you don't, you know, get a lot of respect, but and I can understand that. But I tell you, I really think, you know, this team is, you know, you know, I'm looking at the Puritan. I'm not just going with my Auburn heart. I'm looking at what I, you know, I've read about and seen on this roster, and those are three groups right there that I'm telling you, I'd put up there with anybody. Just a question for Jason. There's two guys I had a question for. Kel Ellis and the wide receiver, he recently committed to Michigan. He's from Georgia.
Yeah, Brady Marchese.
Yeah, right. I've heard a lot of, you know, he's very physically gifted and all. And I just wonder where those guys stand and what they're looking at as far as, you know, playing time going into the season in a couple of weeks. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Worries.
Appreciate it, Kerry.
Yeah, no, I think, to me, Kel Ellis, obviously he's the center. They think he's the center of the future.
He must be, because we haven't seen him working there with the guards.
They keep him there.
They're getting him ready. I mean, he is your number two guy at center.
Yeah, and I think something interesting, though. I think Cole Skinner's a guy that is working some at center. We'll see. I think they could slide Cole Skinner in there, bigger, more physical. I think, you know, Cale River just should be a freshman.
Right.
I think Cole Skinner's a guy that could potentially be a number two center option as well. He's played there in the past and has taken some snaps. But Cale's a guy that, look, the down-the-road guy at center, really smart, tough, physical. I think that's his role for this team. And then Brady Marchese has come on. I think he's solid. The problem is there are just so many guys.
You're right. You were talking about that position. I mean, the receivers a little while ago.
Yeah, because it fits into Kerry's thoughts about this roster. I've said it multiple times. I'll say it again. From 1 to 15 on this roster, you're not as talented as you were last year. From 1 to 15.
Yeah, I agree.
But it takes more than 15 guys to win.
No, and I think from 1 to 40
– you're more talented than you were a year ago.
I just feel like there's no question in my mind this team is deeper.
Yeah, that's my
thing. Than Auburn has been for the last few years.
That's my thing. I think from 1 to 40, no question, 1 to 60, you're much deeper and you're more talented. But I think even 1 to 40, where you start talking about going line up who you think the top 40 guys were on last year's team, some of those guys are still on this team. And you go like, okay, well, that guy's going to be better this year. So I think you're in better – like the safeties, the linebackers, those guys would still be on there. Jeremiah Cobb, I think, well, okay, that guy's better than he would have been last year because he had not played very much last year. I think you start talking about talent level and depth of talent. That's where this team could be interesting because, Bill, we've talked about it. You look and you go, every position group on this team, it doesn't feel like you look at one going, well, if that guy gets hurt, you're dead in the
quarterback.
Water. That's way, but
that's the way it is almost everywhere.
That's everybody in the country.
But I mean, that's the only position. I mean, I can't look at another position and go, "Wow, you're dead."
Yes.
If the first guy that runs out there,
that's it.
Goes
you know,
down.
Like, you know, people go offensive line and go, "Yeah, but look, there's talented guys there. There's maybe not a ton of experience, but look, Jacob Strand has played left tackle.
Right.
You could put Jacob Strand at left tackle if something were to happen to Joe Simmons, and you could put Derek Plaz at guard. Like, you would still have guys who have played. And played this game.
Heck, Derek Plaz was a backup tackle last year in Miami.
His play tackle. You look at Stanton Ramil, and you start thinking about all the – Jack Lehrer has played tackle. We haven't heard as much about him, but that's a guy that's played some before. That's the one spot you look at going, oh, what happens there? Well, look, they've got some guys. That's why a Jacob Strand is really valuable for this team because he can play multiple positions. That's why I said, look, Cody Sigler to me is one of the more important guys on this roster. But there's a bunch of guys there that are talented and can play. They just haven't done it consistently yet. And look, there's no way to know it until it happens.
Right.
Because that's the point you look at. You go like, well, this guy hadn't done it yet either. Well, that doesn't mean he can't. He just hasn't been called on to step up into that role. Somebody's going to have to step up in some key situations for this team.
334-321-1390, and we go from one Kerry to another Kerry. Hey, Kerry.
Hi there. Jason,
yes.
Still staying with football,
yep.
But a little more generalized question. As teams are trying to put together rosters, it's still important to have high school recruits.
Yep.
And it just appears that there are so many teams that struggle with linemen. I was in a discussion with my son, and I said, why can't we get a five-star lineman? He said, because there aren't that many. Do you have a sense as to, and this is a generalization, not a specific, how many five-star linemen there are out there or in any other key positions you want to talk about? And the other thing I wanted to know is, obviously there are five stars, and they all are sort of like these really excellent athletes. But in the four-star category, is there actually sort of different levels of four stars? Like there's a better up in the upper quadrant all the way down to a lower quadrant. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, yeah, they're ranked from 1 to, you know, past 247 or whatever, and you get, you know, a guy that's ranked 38th in the country would be considered a higher ranked prospect than 138.
Yeah,
so he'd be a high four star.
High four star.
Your original thought, though, there's only 32 5 stars.
Right. So the odds are they're not going to be a ton of offensive linemen.
There are five offensive linemen out of that 32. So you're talking about everybody in the country is fighting for five 5-star offensive linemen.
That's incredible.
And so that's it. So this is modeled after,
and they don't always all pan out either.
No, and at 100, that's why you have to sign multiple bunches of those guys. So you're looking and going, you have a kid from Oklahoma, Caden Penny, that is committed to Oklahoma. He's an interior offensive lineman. That's one of the guys. St. Peter's Prep, New Jersey. I'm not even going to attempt to say his name. Ola Babola is his last name. offensive tackle is committed to Notre Dame. Ismail Kamara is committed to Texas. That's an offensive tackle. Let me find the other two. Mark Matthews is from St. Thomas Aquinas, is committed to Texas A&M. And then Maxwell Hiller is a kid from Pennsylvania, is an interior offensive lineman that as right now is ranked number two player. He's committed to Florida.
But so look at the guys that are going to the SEC list, too.
So
I think
five,
four of the five? Yeah.
Five total offensive linemen that were five-star guys in this year's class. I'll go back and look last year. Yeah, one, two.
Yeah, so there's no – and it's not a, three, okay, every year we're going to have four, five offensive linemen
nope,
either.
Nope, three, four, let's see. Five, six, there were seven last year. So
That's a really good year for offensive linemen.
That's a really good offensive lineman class. But you look like everybody in the country wants that guy.
Yeah,
and
there are 120 schools.
So that's
fighting
it.
For those,
and that's
seven.
That's why it's still going to be a developmental position. And so to your point, it is about recruiting guys, developing guys, and signing numbers of especially offensive linemen.
And that's something we have seen, Kerry, from this staff. That they at least early on have shown much more of an inclination to go out and do that and have those numbers.
And I'll give Hugh Freeze the credit too. They did more of that too.
Yes, they did.
Signed more high school offensive linemen in the last 3 years than they did the previous 10.
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, like.
But I mean, Alex Goldie signed six in his first
correct.
In his
and
first
he's
signing
got four
class.
Committed already, and so you have to. That's what the Georgias and Alabamas and Ohio States when they're at their best. They sign multiple high school offensive linemen every class because if you sign six, you might get two. You might get two that can really play.
Right.
And that's why you have to sign a bunch of them.
So I'm trying to test my memory. Back when Pat Dye was here, did he make a statement that give me solid, tough, 3-star linemen and I can beat you?
I don't ever recall him saying anything that specific. Now, he took some guys that weren't as highly touted, he sure didn't back away from going after the best players were.
But I do think that's still the one position. We just saw it. Look, we just saw it with Indiana. Outside, they had a Notre Dame transfer who was a good player. Outside of that, those guys weren't really highly recruited.
And offensive linemen are generally, I mean, even 5-stars aren't usually just plug and play, and they're gonna immediately be impact players and starters.
Have
as
a
true
few
freshmen.
Here, there,
you have some,
but you look
but
especially
many.
At tackle. Right now, you look and go, how many of the guys in the NFL who were elite, big time tackles were guys that weighed 255 pounds in high school? There's a bunch of them. they were big tight ends,
mm-hmm.
or they were long, lean offensive tackles. Those guys aren't five stars. You'll have every once in a while you look at a guy, eh, that guy's, but most of the time, that guy's going, look, that guy's really athletic. Probably not fast enough to play tight end. Or, man, he's a big defensive tackle, but he's not quick enough. If that guy played offensive tackle,
right.
he's a five-star. And you got moves as a sophomore in college, all of a sudden, boom, same thing. The guy was a high school quarterback. He grew to be a tight end. He moves to offensive tackle. He becomes Lane Johnson, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, I mean, you go back at Auburn and you sign Jay Ratliff as a tight end. He goes to defensive end, ends up being a great defensive tackle. I mean, guys,
Ben Grubbs was a linebacker that played tight end, was offensive guard.
The linebacker who moved to defensive line, then moved to offensive line.
Yeah, so that, yeah, but it is about still developing, getting guys on campus, giving yourself numbers, and then finding the guys that kind of the cream rises to the top.
So the magic is retention.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That it's that at that spot, absolutely. Like you're going to have to go sign a portal guy mm-hmm. because you can sign as many guys. You're going to have to go find a guy or two here.
Man,
there.
But you just don't want to have to. You be don't signing have to do four, five, three or four well, at least every yeah, year.
They had to do this year, which right. is we got to go yeah. sign guys
because you had a new roster.
Yeah, you had to go sign a bunch of them. Next year, you hope that it's two,
mm-hmm.
might be three, but then the next year, hey, is it one? That's what you're looking for
right.
to be able to go. Listen, this guy's played. Because, look, to me, that's the biggest thing about Georgia this year. Like, they've got some guys that have stuck with them. I don't think they're as talented as they were 5 years ago. But they also have a bunch of guys that have been in the system. And so you look at them and go, well, I know what that team's going to be. And
yeah,
they know what
experience,
they're going to be.
Experience, continuity means so much now in college athletics.
It does.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. War Eagle.
Great hearing from you, Kerry. 334-321-1390. We need to get to our first break of hour number two, and Tex will be up when we come back. You can get in line behind him. Come on in.
War Eagle 1067. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. 20 minutes after 5 o'clock, Bill and Jason Caldwell here in the studio with Drew at the controls. And let's get back to the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Love listening to the football talk. I called because I just realized, Bill, while I was driving, I heard Andy and you talking about the Ole Miss game that was so hot.
Uh-huh.
That Cindy and I drove up to be at that game, which means I was at the hottest sporting event probably in the history of Auburn.
And, yep.
And then.
And it's the same same team we're facing.
Exactly. And we were at, you were at the.
You were warmer than I was.
But that's because I was catching grenades from Gary Smith. So,
yeah, but y'all had like Sterno in the dugout.
Yeah, but you had to get back to the dugout.
That's true.
So, yeah, it was cold. So, and it was against Ole Miss, yep. of all teams. That's just the craziest thing to me. I never put two and two together.
Oh, I've thought about that many times.
Bill brought that up, Tex, the other day when we were having that discussion. He goes, and the coldest game, and he mentioned that one.
Well, if you would have been there, you would understand. It was cold.
And I usually argue. I much prefer cold to heat because you can, you know, there's a limit to what you can do when you're hot. There's
always,
only so much you can take
always
off.
Always say, yeah, that's
you
it.
Can always
there's
put a little
so
more
many
on.
Clothes you can take off.
Let me just tell you, I was way more comfortable when I stayed for every play in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, well,
I couldn't wait to get out of the ballpark in Auburn, Alabama.
I was miserable at both, but let me tell you, having to wear, I think I threw away the sport coat that I had on there in Jackson. I had to wear a coat and tie, and that was just absolutely miserable.
I think the only clothes I've ever thrown away after a game were in
Tampa
in 1995.
Absolutely, I did too. We stopped by a like a 5-10 or some kind yes. of discount store and bought clothes on the way to the game.
I left my shoes in the park. Well, in the grass parking lot, in the mud parking lot.
Yeah, my clothes were in the parking lot because Kathy was waiting for me at the bottom of the elevator at the press box. We didn't have cell phones back then. I knew that's all she was going to be able to take sitting over there in the stands.
Yeah, it was with the flood coming down the aisles.
Well, I will tell you, my wife sat with me through the football game. But she did not attend the baseball game.
Well, y'all weren't together then, were you?
Yeah, we had just started.
Oh, okay. I didn't know exactly when that started, I don't blame her for not being there.
There's also something about baseball cold weather feels colder than football cold.
It does. It does.
People, everything involved, it just feels colder.
All I know is that everybody, anybody that I knew that listened to me try to broadcast that game said it was one of the funniest things they'd ever heard
because you could hear my teeth chattering
while I was trying to do the play-by.
Well, the good thing is Bill got to sit on aluminum.
Yeah, that was great. That was wonderful. Oh, yeah. Aluminum with no cover.
Unprotected, yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mark McClellan and I sat closer together than we've ever sat, I'm sure.
Well, I would just tell you, it just made me just crack up laughing, so thank you for that. On a football side, real quick, do you two believe that this team may be one of our fastest overall speed teams?
I don't know.
There's been some really fast spots.
I mean, I think linebacker's probably
I
the
think,
fastest
I think
linebacker
it's the fastest
room.
Linebacker group that has ever been here for sure. I don't think the wide receiver.
I don't know that the wide receiver room is just a bunch of guys that you'd line up and run a relay with.
Yeah, and then the DBs are fast, but most every group of DBs is usually fast. I would say because the linebacker group is so fast, it's probably going to make everybody else look sped up because they're. Like, that's elite fast.
Right.
Like, even the biggest guy, Elijah Melendez, can really run. The other three run like horses. Like, those guys can fly.
Yeah, I mean, at the receiver room, Chaz Nimrod's fast.
He's really fast.
He is fast. Yeah, Deshaun Spencer is fast, but he is shifty. Yeah. You know, he's one of those water bug kind of guys.
I think it's more big physical receiver.
Yeah,
group,
I mean,
more
with,
so
with
than
Singleton
just true
and,
speed.
Yeah, those guys.
Well, good. Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it,
Thanks,
Tex. Yeah, I mean, Keyshawn Singleton and Jeremiah Coger and, you know, those guys are – they've
Sam,
got good
Sam
speed.
Sam Turner, Brian Williams, they're not slow.
Sam Turner's got good physical speed, though.
I would say more physical wide receiver group.
They've
than
got
I would say
enough
speed, guys.
Speed
yeah.
at receiver.
Yes.
Auburn's got some guys that look like LSU and Tennessee receivers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, it's size. I mean, like, Jeremiah Cooper can run, but you look at him and go, like, no, that's a bigger physical. Keyshawn Singleton looks like a undersized tight end.
He does.
Like, he's a big guy, but he can run. I mean, he runs really good routes. And, interesting room. It really is. Look at the production out of there and go, like, Chaz Nimrod, when healthy, has been really good.
Oh, yeah. He was on pace to have a great year
Singleton
last year.
Singleton and
when
Coger
he got
put up.
And then Coger
really
got
good
the
numbers.
Opportunity and came in and
they
played.
They put up really good numbers. And you look at those three guys and you look at Deshaun Spencer and you go, like, who's the next guys?
Mm-hmm.
That's the part I look at and go, Christian Neptune's going to play. I'm just like, people.
Oh, I agree.
The last week or so, he
may be Auburn's punt returner.
He may be a guy that gets a ton of touches offensively, too. I think they really like him. Went healthy last year. He did some good things. So. You start thinking about who's the next bigger guy. Is it Brian Williams? Is it Sam Turner? Like, who's the next bigger receiver to fill in behind Singleton and Coger in those types of roles? That'll be something to watch, I think. But it feels like the first four or five are pretty solid. Yeah,
I agree there. All right, with the scrimmage coming up tomorrow, something I wanted to get your thoughts on, Jason. You know, where do you see – what rooms, what positions do you feel like are the most up for grabs? Now, I wouldn't say up for grabs because I think we've got a pretty good idea who
Correct.
The depth is, but where are guys, you know, really fighting to be the top?
I think you look and going like, you know, left guard Strand Plaz. I think that's when you look at it feels more Cole Skinner at right guard, even though
it really
we've seen
does.
Jacoby Ward in there. I think. Those two offensive line group, look, they're going to play a bunch of running backs, and who's two, who's three? I mean, that could be – there's no debate about one. Wide receiver group, they're going to roll guys, but if we know that. Linebackers, we kind of know. Defensive line, they're going to rotate guys. Corner's probably the other one where you go, like, is it Andre Jordan? Is it Rayshon Pleasant? Will Gavin Jenkins slide in there? Is it Blake Woodby? Like, you know, Shamar Arnaud. Like, there's five, six guys I feel like are in the mix there.
Now, after those first four or five, though, that's where I'm not really sure there, and that's where Bryce Keane's getting an opportunity over there.
Yeah, who's next? Who could be one of those guys? Like, there's still some more guys. Kamari Todd's there. We've seen some guys, Scrap Richardson. There's some other guys there as well.
Scrap was one of the guys that was – yeah, can you buzz him in there, Drew? Scrap was one of the guys that wasn't in full gear working out today.
Yeah, I think, you know, a little banged up. Obviously, been a special teams guy mostly now.
He's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, no, he's not small. Like, he played wide receiver last year at Notre Dame as redshirted. And so, yeah, there's some guys there, but I think that's probably slick safety. They may play five or six.
Mm-hmm.
Will Champ get a look at corner? That, you know, does that change things?
I think he was working with the corners today.
He has been back and forth there a little bit. Will they give him more of that look kind of thing there? So, like, that offensively, it feels like the pieces are in place. Is it this guy or this guy? The defensive front, they're going to roll so many guys. All those guys are going to play. Who's the guy that gets the most reps? It feels like Deshaun Womack, Jared Smith, kind of those edge spots. And I think, look, Dallas Walker's going to be a guy. Cody Sigler, then who's the next two? Is it Malik Autry and is it Buddy Mathis? Is it Jordan Crawford? Is it Darren Smith? There's options there, but I think it's more now who's in the rotation, who's out of the rotation is what you're looking for.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Got a half an hour to go, plenty of time for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar as we head into the final couple of segments here on the Tuesday Drive. Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here in the studio. Got Drew at the controls. Again, love for you to join us, 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise as Auburn football getting ready for its second and final scrimmage of the preseason. The Tigers were back on the practice field today. Yeah, a few guys that were held out for injuries. None of them appeared to be very serious. We were just mentioning Scrap Richardson a couple minutes ago, but I mean, I guess four or five guys, but they were all out running. They were out. Now, they weren't in the indoor. They got to run out in the heat.
There's no I'll take it easy and not practice today.
Take the time off. No, you're going to get out there and you're going to run in that heat while everybody else is practicing.
Not
inside.
A day off.
Not at all. Let's get back to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. And Jason. Hey, the talk about Darian Smith, I know they say he gained weight, but he's only up to 270. I mean, how much can he be an every down player?
I think it's tough for him to be an every down player at tackle. I wonder if you slide him outside and play more of a true defensive end, especially when I think if you're doing a three man front a little bit, when you're going like, we're going to play a little 3-4 type of look and use some zone blitz kind of thing. I think as a 3-4 end, then I think he becomes much more viable in that kind of role.
Because he definitely gets some work out there, Brett. So, I mean, because he's a guy that just has that natural ability to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, and I would say more as a pass rush situation kind of guy, I think, is more where you see him as an interior guy, third downs, second long. I think that's where you see him a little bit more.
Okay, so I guess he'd be like third on the depth chart at defensive end, or would that be about right?
I don't know. We don't know. That's the thing. Nate Johnson's been a little banged up, and we haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Because you start going, look, you got to have more than just pass rush. He's the bigger one of those guys. Now, Deshaun Womack probably weighs a little more, but
yeah,
but
Deshaun's Darion's like 260, 265.
Thicker when you bust. He's not
Darion's not as tall.
He's not as long.
Right.
So, you know, they haven't talked about him as much as a defensive end, but I think in some situations we'll see him maybe playing that role, especially if it's Georgia, if it's some of those teams where you said, look, this team wants to run the football and be physical. you might work on some of those things during the week that you might not do for Baylor. You might need it for Florida with Jaden Ball. That might be one where you
that's
go,
true.
Okay, listen, we're going to get a little more size on the field.
And it's really interesting watching. I mean, it'll be interesting when that first depth chart does come out. See if they go like last year and have as many oars and guys showing up in multiple positions.
Like a Viking ship with a
bunch
of oars.
But, I mean, really, this is a very flexible type defense where guys can play either or. We're talking about it a while ago with Jared and Deshaun. I mean, both of them could play either, you know, strong side end or that buck type end and allow Darian to be able to be there more at an end spot. So I don't know. I mean, I get the feeling he's in the top four or five interior guys.
Yes.
Even at his size.
Because of his specialty as well.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Hey, last thing. Tell me who y'all would say Singleton at wide receiver about his speed. Tell me a past Auburn player who's about his speed.
I'll say this. It's really hard to tell because I've never seen him play a football game.
No, I mean,
not in person.
We saw,
you watch him practice, but you're still different when you go, man, what's that guy look like in a game?
And is his game speed different than just what you lined up?
I'm thinking
Darvin
here's the thing. Darvin's a little
He wasn't the fastest guy.
No, honestly, when you look
at
him.
But he was able to get deep.
Here's my thing, too. I think it could be a little bit of Ronnie Daniels. Ronnie what? Now, he did one-on-one, but his was so physical.
Mm-hmm.
He just knocked guys to the ground, and that's how he scored. Yeah, he didn't outrun
him. Keyshawn could be. Yeah, could be.
I think more, to me, that's, now that I think about it, I would go a little bit more Ronnie Daniels in terms of the physical, older body guy.
Because he is a big
guy. Ronnie could run, but his job wasn't to outrun guys and go.
Ronnie was a grown man who'd been playing baseball for a few years, too. So,
Yeah.
Hey, okay. speaking of baseball. Hey, wait. Hold on, Brett. I was going to say, speaking of baseball, it's probably not the worst thing in the world for you to see Edwin Diaz going back on the injured list. Did you see that? He went on the IL today, and they need to get him right. Besides, I know Dave does some crazy things with a bullpen, but I think they're better served with going back to Tanner Scott.
I believe so. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, man. Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. That's interesting. I hadn't really thought about who Keyshawn sort of.
It's the question I get,
and compared to.
And I do it when guys commit, and it's harder. It's much harder to do for transfer guys than it is for high school players.
Oh, especially guys that you haven't seen as much.
That's it. And so we were talking about that last week a little bit. Look, especially offensively. Look, seen clips of Byron, watched games, never seen him play in person.
Right.
You know, seen Cobb, obviously seen, you know, the interesting thing is seen Cobb, seen Mabson, seen Tay, you know, Tay a little bit too because of his time at Hanley in high school. Saw Bryson Washington from the other side last year with Baylor. But wide receiver group, now that Bryce Kane has moved, Deshaun Spencer.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen Sam Turner in practice.
That's right. You're going to say you saw him in practice.
I've seen
that's
these
it.
Same guys, the same role. Like, I've seen Deshaun Spencer probably four or five times in high school. Nobody else. Like, not a single time in person. And so it's always different because you're right. Like, saw a bunch of Darvin Adams, never expected him to be the guy he became.
No, sure didn't.
You just don't know until the lights come on, and that's why you scrimmage. Well, that's why. Because there's no replicating that in practice. We can watch practice. Coaches can watch practice. Sometimes a guy goes, listen, I just want to go play the game.
You know, it's fun. I mean, I guess I just thought Darvin, because I'm sort of going back to, Terrell Zachary was the guy with speed. I mean, he was more the Nimrod, guy that can take the top off. Whereas, I mean, Keyshawn Singleton puts up really good numbers. But it's not because he's just running by guys.
Yeah. Darvin was so slippery, like an eel. like he could just find, contort his body, do mm-hmm. those things, long or leaner.
Speed-wise. I'm looking forward to guys that can go up and get it.
Yeah. No, they, you know, and listen.
And I think Koger and Singleton are guys like that.
The tight end group is one where, like, there's
Jake Johnson can do it. Arliss Boardingham
there's obviously
did it
some
at Florida.
Keys when you start going, look, the first thing, like, this team's got to run the football. Mm-hmm. Everything they do this year depends.
Absolutely.
It's like last year, you're like, they want to run the football, but that wasn't what they wanted to do.
No, it wasn't that team's identity.
We're running the football, but our identity is just throw it up to those guys if you can make plays. And we saw that when you got inside the 20-yard line, people said, okay, go right ahead. Go throw it in the short red zone, and it becomes really, really tough, mm-hmm. and you kick a lot of field goals. This identity they
and,
run.
And when you know they're gonna and when they know you're gonna do that, you're also coming after the quarterback.
Correct.
And he doesn't have a
Correct.
Time to breathe.
But now you know, listen, I talked to Philip Lawley the other day, and then I talked to, you know, Mike Blanc, who's here is FCA and you know, on campus with the football team. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, talking about the differences in having a running quarterback in the red zone and how much it changes things. And it changes everything. Because when you have the extra guy down there.
Yeah, they can't. They have to
the
account for him.
The defense has to. And here's the thing. And you can't, unless you put eight guys up there, you still don't have enough guys to account for it. When you're talking about five offensive linemen, you go running back, tight end, quarterback, that's still eight guys. And you go like, okay, you're not outnumbering them with eight guys
mm-hmm.
because of the quarterback and because of his running ability. That guy, you have to account for that guy. That's why we saw it last year when Auburn played Baylor, you went, okay, that can work. And then we never saw it again.
Right.
You're like, well, teams quit playing us that way. Well, so what? Keep doing it until somebody says, no, we're not going to let you do that
make
anymore.
Make them stop.
And I've said this for years, though, but look, to me, the downfall the last half decade for Auburn has been offensively getting to the line of scrimmage and letting the defense dictate what you do.
Mm-hmm. That's Alex Golish's offense.
Instead of making them adjust
respond
to what you're
to you.
Doing. Yes. When you let the defense dictate what you do on offense, listen, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and those guys can stand up there and do that because they're that smart and they're that experienced and they're that veteran. Most people can't do that.
Right.
College teams aren't going to do that. You better get up there and go, listen, here's what we're doing. Go stop.
Stop it.
And if you do it really fast, then you're saying, hey, stop it while you're trying to figure out how you're lining up on that side of the ball. That's what I'm more excited to see because that's where I keep saying, listen, this offensive line is not as talented as last year. Like they got two guys in the NFL. Now, Jeremiah Wright's playing. Like you got this. There was some talent on the offensive line. The offensive system did not allow them to ever get to where I thought they could get.
Mm-hmm.
This system can make offensive linemen better because of what we were just talking about. Like, you get up there, you're the guy that you're not worried about a snap count. You're not standing up on the line of scrimmage for 12 seconds waiting for a guy to rush the passer and sitting on your heels. You're the guy that gets up there, snaps the ball and goes. I think that gives you an advantage. And if you can run the football and do that, then it opens up a whole lot of things.
And the other thing is, this is not like just any fast-paced offense. The offense that Alex Golish and Joel Gordon are running now is not the same as the offense that Alex Golish was calling at Tennessee.
No, and it's not 2013 Auburn.
No.
And it's not 2010 Auburn. Like, there's – because that's the part of it, too. The general theme, generally, you want to keep doing that. Generally means we generally want to keep going fast.
Yeah.
But you also adjust to the talent on your team. Because of that, yeah, you're right. Like, those quarterbacks ran the ball at Tennessee, but they didn't run it like Byron Brown.
No.
So because of that, it may look more like what Auburn did at times because of the quarterback run than maybe what Tennessee did in those years. But you still have the passing concepts. You still have the things you're working on.
Yeah. One thing, we were talking about running backs a little while ago, and, you know, was it Kerry that was, you know, talking about the running back room? A guy that it would be nice to see healthy still looks like he's being held out, Snekai Davenport. And because of that, that's really allowed Bryson Washington to have the opportunity. And everything sounds like he's really starting to take advantage of that.
No, yeah. Bryson coming on, especially the last week or so, is really good news for this team. He's a big back, first of all.
Right.
Great hands, experienced. That guy's played a lot of football. To having him as part of this makes you better. You know, not saying that, look, now you're still.
And the guy's not a little guy.
No, he's not a little guy either. And you look and go, look, Omar Mabson is maybe the more physical of all of these guys. Jeremiah Cobb has really improved his physicality. When people see him, they're going to go, man, that guy looks a little different than he did last year. He's not 230, but he's a guy that's like you can see finishing some
runs.
He's
around 210 or something.
See, finishing some runs versus 200. I mean, 10 pounds for him is a big deal. But yeah, it's a running back group, I think, that has some oomph to them. And when you add a 235-pound quarterback who runs the ball, and that's the part of this, because people always ask us, you know, like, well, what do you think this team can be? I don't know, because I didn't have any. None of us had any clue what 2013 was going to be.
Oh no, you're right.
You had no clue because you're like, well, that guy's pretty athletic.
Yeah, his but is he going to be able to be a quarterback?
His teammates didn't even know it. And then Gus says, well, we got a scrimmage because we don't know what. And they scrimmaged. They went, uh-oh, that's different. You know, even Cam, like they didn't let him get touched. He didn't run it. They blew the whistle.
Well, look, Nick was a magician with the ball.
But
I mean,
but those two teams, they were so different preseason.
Once they
got into a game and they go, okay, now tackle that guy. When you do that, it changes everything about it. Because, yeah, like change everything about an offense and everything about a defense because of that. And you're going, okay, we're going to have to commit more guys up there. Now we've talked about it. Like, if you don't throw the ball, get one-on-one opportunities, and this is a big receiving group, you're going to have some of those because they're going to have to go and we can't let that guy beat us running the football.
Something, a couple of things. We had not really heard, hadn't heard his name much until we talked to Jacob Bronowski and then heard Alex Golish mention Alvin Henderson after the scrimmage the other day. So good to hear that.
Yeah. We've had two coaches, mention Alvin in the last week. I talked to Alvin the other day, and I just went by and I said, listen.
Man, he looked like he was really bouncing around when I watched today.
I think he's having fun. All of a sudden, you get a taste of it, and you go, you know what? It's hard as a freshman when you've been the guy who touched
when you were the guy.
Every play of your high school career, basically.
I mean, my goodness, he had a couple of 50-carry
games. And then you get to college and go, hey, go over there and carry it, but you're carrying it so the defense can look, that's your job. It's hard. But he has grown up so much. I think you look at him, maybe it's just special teams. We'll see.
Well, you talked about it with Bryce a while ago. I mean, an opportunity to get out there and to contribute to make some plays.
But when you do that, then your coaches go, I can trust that guy.
Yeah.
We heard the word trust today. Coleman Huss are talking about who can you trust? Who can you trust? That's how you earn trust. Still to this day, go out and play special teams as a young guy, and they go, man, that guy works his tail off. He plays really hard. Give him a couple carries and see what happens. That's what happens. That's how you make a move when you get your opportunity.
We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join if you'd like. 334-321-1390 as we wind things down here on the Tuesday Drive.
At Opelika Power Services, we're more than just your energy provider. We're your
to be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment here of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Yeah, tomorrow we'll let you know what Alex Golish has to say following Auburn's last big scrimmage here of the preseason. So that'll be tomorrow. Obviously, I mean, so that's what we will have on the show tomorrow. Jason wanted to get I don't think we've mentioned Auburn added a basketball player as well. I mean, we talked about Trey Taylor today. Auburn picked up another guard to add to the team. Another one of the players who got that fifth year of eligibility.
Yeah, now I have to remember his name.
Colby King.
Colby King, that's right, because we're talking about.
I know, it's like KK.
Yes. Guy that's played a lot of basketball, yeah. Can shoot, wasn't a prolific scorer, but that's okay.
No, I mean, he's nearly a 40% three-point shooter.
So we just talked about it, and we didn't really mention it in this terms, but I mentioned it to kind of this way today. But listen, you got 105-man roster in football, 105 scholarships. Mm-hmm. You take advantage of every chance you get a guy that can help you.
Yeah.
That's what Auburn did in football.
And basketball, you got 15 now.
You got 15 now. You're like, we got a spot. Let's go find somebody. Where could we be deficient
if something were to happen? Utah State last year, Tulane the year before, yep. St. John's the year before.
Yes, and you go like,
so he's been around. He's played at some basketball,
yeah,
some schools
State
that
is
no
a,
basketball.
Utah State is a basketball school for sure. St. John's, obviously.
Yep.
But you look and go, look, especially because, look, who's your second, who's your third point guard who gives you some minutes here or there.
He's a guy that's a combo
both.
Guy, can play one
he
or
play
two.
Play both. And so I think that's the key. You look, can he be a guy that gives you – because he might not give you any minutes, but if you get an emergency, is this a guy that can go out there and give you minutes and get you out of games, mm-hmm. can help you win games maybe? That's because of his experience. That's what you're adding. And so I think those guys are valuable. And look, if you can add somebody like that at this hour and you go like, hey.
And you've got some time now
in
basketball.
You do. And look, that's a sport. Yeah, you got to learn the system, all those things. But, like, you can get caught up fairly quickly in that because you get some time on the court. And mm-hmm. Just another chance to, look, try to make the roster deeper. We were talking about that for football. I think that's what you just did in basketball, going, look, add another quality guy, experienced guy, to a roster that has some new faces, has some different guys, another true guard, and see what happens.
Oh, yeah. We got a couple minutes left here. Jason, just talk a little bit about – I was mentioning, obviously, tomorrow we get Alex Golish following the scrimmage. But, I mean, you've got all kinds of stuff out there for folks there at Auburn.
Yeah, absolutely, and a busy week. You mentioned scrimmage tomorrow on Wednesday. Thursday night, I'll go Central. Central Thompson Thursday night.
Whew, good luck there.
Friday night, I'm going to go to Oxford and Gadsden City. I'll go up to Gadsden and watch the new 28 quarterback commitment. Pretty good game there to watch early in the season. But, yeah, got all this going on. Lots of football, obviously, as we kind of trying to gather information from a scrimmage. Sometimes it's easier than other. But we'll get Alex Golish. And, listen, he'll tell you. He doesn't hold back, and he'll tell you what happened after a scrimmage. So, looking forward to seeing what that holds for them. But got all that going on. Our insider thoughts on some of the notes that we've picked up, all those things. We'll have some more of those tomorrow morning. But got all that there. It's still 60% off. If you've never been a subscriber before, 60% off right now. That deal's still going on. And, we're wrapping up as we head into game week here in a couple of weeks. So this our camp special is still going on at 60% off.
And still includes a Paramount Plus,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Got Paramount Plus with it. And
yeah, man, you can't beat that.
No,
that's so much cheaper than you just get Paramount Plus for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Ferg said, you get the not Paramount Plus subscription, but the Landman and whatever that
– that's right.
I can't remember the name of the first show that came out, but all those spinoffs from that show you get all those things. But, yeah, tons of things go on, movies, sports, at UFC or whatever, I think now is part of that too. So got a lot to watch. And that's part of it.
That's great. And obviously let folks know how they can keep up with you
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, social media. ITAT Jason is my social media handles and platforms, all that stuff. Auburn 247. So on YouTube, Auburn 247, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Find us on YouTube, Auburn 247. When we have these viewing windows, we've been having daily 6 to 8 minute podcasts, myself and Nathan King, probably 4 or 5 times a week. And I think people have really enjoyed that little dose, like, hey, here's what we saw today. Instead of waiting, talking about it in 45 minute segments, boom, here it is, immediate stuff. So you can find all those. Subscribe to that YouTube channel as well, and you can get the updates when they come out.
Great stuff, Jason, man. Always great to have you in.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's going to wrap things up for the Tuesday edition of The Drive again. Yeah, tomorrow we'll talk about, what we hear from Alex Golish and what we've heard about the scrimmage, and much more, and hopefully hear from you as well. That's going to do it for today, though. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.